बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
हरे कृष्ण। सिक्स्थ कैंटो फर्स्ट चैप्टर। द फर्स्ट थ्री चैप्टर्स ऑफ सिक्स्थ कैंटो डिस्क्राइब द स्टोरी ऑफ अजामिल। एक्चुअली द फर्स्ट टू चैप्टर्स ओनली, बट द थर्ड चैप्टर इज ऑल्सो ए कंटिन्यूशन ऑफ दिस एपिसोड। द फिफ्थ कैंटो भागवतम डिस्क्राइब्स द डायनेस्टी ऑफ प्रियव्रत महाराज एंड इन द सेकेंड हाफ द यूनिवर्सल जियोग्राफी, यूनिवर्सल कॉस्मोलॉजी इज मेंशन। एंड द सिक्स्थ कैंटो द थीम, प्रोमिनेंट थीम इज पोषण। Poshana means protection offered by the Lord. Even if someone transgresses the laws of dharma, sometimes by mistake, still the Lord offers protection. That's not a license to perform mistake, but it is the kindness of the Lord that even if someone does some mistake, the Lord forgives him, rectifies that mistake and brings him back, encourages him. That kind of episodes are given in this sixth canto. The prominent episodes are Ajamil, first three chapters. Then Daksha's episode will come in the fourth and fifth chapters. Next, Vishwarupa and Indra. So that's there up to ninth chapter. Then Vritrasura's episode, Chitraketu's episode, Marut's episode, all these are coming. The first chapter, we'll recite the first verse. Nivritti Margah Kathitam. आदौ भगवता यथा कर्मयोगोपलब्धेन ब्रह्मणा यदसंस्मृतः।
महाराज परीक्षित सेड, ओ माय लॉर्ड, ओ सुखदेव गोस्वामी, यू हैव ऑलरेडी डिस्क्राइब्ड इन सेकंड कैंटो द पाथ ऑफ लिबरेशन, निवृत्ति मार्ग। By following that path, one is certainly elevated gradually to the highest planetary system, Brahmalok, from which one is promoted to the spiritual world along with the Lord Brahma. Thus, one's repetition of birth and death in the material world ceases.
Parikshit Maharaj, at the end of the fifth canto, he heard about the hellish planets. And now he is asking, how the humanity may be saved from entering these hellish planets? That's the question in the beginning of sixth canto. Before asking this question in the sixth verse, in the first five verses, Parikshit Maharaj summarizes what he has heard so far. He gives an overview class of the first five cantos so far. Now he says, my dear Sukadeva Goswami, you spoke about Nivritti Marga. Nivritti Marga Kathita Adau Bhagavata Yatha. You spoke about Nivritti Marga by which one is elevated to higher planets, the Brahmaloka, and from there he may be delivered and he goes back to Brahma also. Prabhupada writes about Vaishnava compassion in the purport. Vaishnava is Paradukha Dukhi, means he is, he feels distress to see others in distress. And samsriti, that is path of transmigration. Asamsriti means path of liberation. See the word asamsriti here, asamsriti. Samsriti means the repetition of birth and death. We have seen in the third canto, last three chapters, 30, 31, 32. So these are the things. That is the birth and death cycle of the living entity. Then asamsriti is path of liberation. So, independence of bhakti yoga, karma yogopalabdhena. Karma yogopalabdhena means this nivritti marga is coming. Can someone read the translation once again? First verse translation.
Oh my Lord, O Shukadeva Goswami, you have already described the path of liberation. By following that path, one is certainly elevated gradually to the highest planetary system, Brahmaloka, from which one is promoted to the spiritual world along with the Lord Brahma. Thus, one's repetition of birth and death in the material world ceases.
Read the word-to-word meaning of karma yoga upalabdhena.
Karma yoga. ಕ್ರಮ ಗ್ರಾಜ್ಯುವಲಿ
ಕ್ರಮ ಯೋಗ
ಗ್ರಾಜ್ಯುವಲಿ ಯೋಗ ಉಪಲಬ್ಧ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಆಬ್ಟೈನ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ದ ಯೋಗ ಪ್ರಾಸೆಸ್.
ಸೊ ಗ್ರಾಜ್ಯುವಲಿ ದಟ್ಸ್ ಐ ವಾಸ್ ಲಿಟ್ ಸರ್ಪ್ರೈಸ್. ಐ ರೇಟ್ ಕರ್ಮ ಎಸ್ ಕ್ರಮ ಎಸ್ ಕರ್ಮ ಹೌ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಕರ್ಮ ಇಸ್ ನಿವೃತ್ತಿ ಮಾರ್ಗ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್. ಸೊ ಎನ್ ಇಂಪೈಯಸ್ ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ವಿತ್ ನೋ ಎಸೆಟ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಕರ್ಮಯೋಗ, ಇಲ್ಲಿಟ್ರೇಟ್ ವಿತ್ ನೋ ಎಸೆಟ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಜ್ಞಾನಯೋಗ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಟೇಡ್ಲಿ ಬಿ ಎಲಿವೇಟೆಡ್ ಟು ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ಭಕ್ತಿ. ನಿವೃತ್ತಿ ಮಾರ್ಗ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಟೇಕ್ಸ್ ಯು ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ ಟು ಗಾಡ್ ಹೆಡ್ ವಯಾ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಲೋಕ. ಯು ಮೇ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಎ ಡಿಸೈರ್ ಟು ಜಸ್ಟ್ ವಿಸಿಟ್ ವಾಟ್ಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಇನ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಲೋಕ. ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ರೈಟ್ಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್ ವಯಾ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಲೋಕ ಯು ಮೇ ಗೋ. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಬಟ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಈಸ್ ಸೋ ಇಂಡಿಪೆಂಡೆಂಟ್ ದಟ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಡಿಪೆಂಡೆಂಟ್ ಆನ್ ದಿ ಆ್ಯಕ್ಟಿವಿಟೀಸ್ ಡನ್ ಬೈ ಎ ಕರ್ಮಯೋಗಿ, ದ ಪೈಯಸ್ ಆ್ಯಕ್ಟಿವಿಟೀಸ್ ಡನ್ ಬೈ ಎ ಕರ್ಮಯೋಗಿ, ಆರ್ ದಿ ಫಿಲಾಸಾಫಿಕಲ್ ಸ್ಟಡಿ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಡನ್ ಬೈ ಎ ಜ್ಞಾನಯೋಗಿ. ರೈಟ್, ಭಕ್ತಿ ಈಸ್ ಇಂಡಿಪೆಂಡೆಂಟ್ ವಿಥೌಟ್ ಈವನ್ ಸರ್ಪಾಸಿಂಗ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಲೋಕ ಆಲ್ಸೋ. Without having to go to Brahmaloka, he can directly go to the spiritual world also. So like that. That's the independence of Bhakti Yoga. Prabhupada writes. Second, Pravritti Lakshanas Chaivam Traigunya Vishayo Munim Yosa Alina Prakritir Gunasarga Hapunah Punaham.
Oh great, say Shukadeva Goswami. Unless the living entity is freed from the infection of material modes of nature, he receives different types of bodies in which to enjoy or suffer, and according to the body, he is understood to have various inclinations. By following these inclinations, he traverses the path called Pravritti Marga, by which one may be elevated to the heavenly planets, as you have already described.
So, Sukadeva Goswami spoke about Nivritti Marga in the second canto. And he spoke about Pravritti Marga in the third canto, especially 32nd chapter. So by Pravritti Marga, one will get different destinations according to his own inclinations. That means he will get different bodies, and he will enjoy in those bodies or he will suffer in those bodies. All that is described in the third canto. Prabhupada writes that if we worship Krishna, there is no more birth only. Next, third verse. Adharma Lakshana Nanam ನರಕಶ್ಚಾನುವರ್ಣಿತಃ ಮನ್ವಂತರಶ್ಚ ವ್ಯಾಖ್ಯಾತಂ ಆದ್ಯಃ ಸಾಯಂ ಭುವೋ ಯತಃ.
ಯತಃ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ಡ್ ಅಟ್ ದ ಎಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಫಿಫ್ತ್ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ ದ ವೆರೈಟೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಹೆಲಿಶ್ ಲೈಫ್ ದಟ್ ರಿಸಲ್ಟ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಇಂಪಾಯಸ್ ಆಕ್ಟಿವಿಟೀಸ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಫೋರ್ತ್ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ ದ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಮನ್ವಂತರ ವಿಚ್ ವಾಸ್ ಪ್ರಿಸೈಡೆಡ್ ಓವರ್ ಬೈ ಸ್ವಾಮಿಭೂ ಮನು ದ ಸನ್ ಆಫ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ.
And you also described about hellish life and the first manvantara, Swayambhu manvantara, which canto he described also mentioned.
Priyavratottana padar vamshastacharitanicham dvipavarsha samudradrim nadyudyana vanaspatin dharamandala samsthanam ಭಾಗಲಕ್ಷಣಮಾನತಃ ಜ್ಯೋತಿಷಾಂ ವಿವರಾಣಾಂ ಚ ಯಥೇದಂ ಅಸೃಜದ್ ವಿಭುಃ.
ಮೈ ಡಿಯರ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ ದ ಡಿನೆಸ್ಟೀಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಕ್ಯಾರೆಕ್ಟರಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಕಿಂಗ್ ಪ್ರೇವ್ರತ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಕಿಂಗ್ ಉತ್ತಾನಪಾದ್. ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಮ್ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಹೆಡ್ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಟೆಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮೆಟಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ವಿತ್ ವೇರಿಯಸ್ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸಸ್, ಪ್ಲಾನೆಟರಿ ಸಿಸ್ಟಮ್ಸ್, ಪ್ಲಾನೆಟ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಸ್, with varied lands, seas, oceans, mountains, rivers, gardens and trees, all with different characteristics. These are all divided among this planet, earth, the luminaries in the sky and the lower planetary systems. You have very clearly described these planets and the living entities who live on them.
Priyavrata uttanapado vamshastacharitanicha. Sukadeva Goswami so far has described the dynasties of Uttanapada in 4th canto and Priyavrata's dynasty in the 5th canto. Dvipa Varsha Samudra Trinadyudhyana Vanaspatin and all the paraphernalia and the details of different islands in the cosmology, all that he has described. Right? So Prabhupada is writing in the purport, atheists try to conceal God's hand which is present in every creation, but they cannot explain how all creations come into existence without competent intelligence and almighty power behind them. Simply trying to imagine or speculate is just a waste of time. One has to depend on the right sources to understand. Prabhupada writes in the 5th canto that you cannot disprove the statements of Bhagavatam and you cannot verify the statements of Bhagavatam. Better accept them about cosmology. when Bhagavatam says that there is Mount Meru, there is Jambudvipa, there are 7 islands in Bhumandala, you have no means to verify them. Understand who is speaking that, authenticity of scripture, and then trust it. Prabhupada gives a simple solution, how to accept it. But it may not be so appealing to a scientific mind, modern scientific mind. But to understand all this, one needs to have some mercy of Krishna, which he gets by association of devotees. So every creation has a combination of material and spiritual energies. So one needs to understand the cosmology from that perspective. It's a combination of matter and spirit. So after having summarized the what he has heard in these cantos, up to 5th canto, Parikshit Maharaj is asking this question. What is there in the first 5 verses is just an enumeration, just a contents table of the first 5 cantos. Nivritti Marga you describe, Pravritti Marga you describe, dynasties of the children of Swayambhumanu also you describe, you described cosmology also, hellish planets also. Now I have a question, very important question.
Adhuneha Mahabhaga Yathaiva Narakannaraham Nanograyatana Neyat Tanme Vyakhyatum Arhasim.
Oh, greatly fortunate and opulent Shukadeva Goswami, now kindly tell me how human beings may be saved from having to enter hellish conditions in which they suffer terrible pains.
Adhuneha Mahabhaga Yathaiva Narakan Naraha. My dear Lord, my dear Sukadeva Goswami, now you must describe to me how the living entities may be protected from entering these hellish conditions. Because you have very graphically described the sufferings of various sinful souls in these hellish planets, I want to know how to avoid this suffering. Hellish planets should be empty. So how is this possible? That's how Vaishnava's compassion is deep, complete and spontaneous. 3 characteristics of Vaishnava's compassion. It's deep because even in trouble, he thinks about others. Now Parikshit Maharaj lost his kingdom and he retired. In few days, in 4 or 5 days, he's about to leave this world. You know, he's thinking, he's not thinking where he's going. He's thinking where these people are going. How can people avoid entering hellish planets? So even Vaishnava is not overwhelmed by the personal inconvenience or trouble or calamity that he is facing. He is more concerned about how people may be saved from entering hellish conditions. That's why it is deep. And it is complete also. He did not ask how Kshatriyas may be protected from hellish planets, how Brahmanas may be protected from hellish planets, how my family is protected from hellish planets, how can I avoid hell? He is not speaking like that. How can the entire humanity be saved from entering hellish planets? It's complete. Everybody is included there. Next, it's spontaneous, not based on some analysis. As soon as he heard about hellish planets and the sufferings there, immediately he asked this question. Right? Very spontaneously he felt compassionate. He felt compassion towards all the suffering souls. Prabhupada writes that Vaishnava is paradukha dukhi. He has no personal troubles. Why he has no personal troubles? Because he has taken shelter of Krishna. So there are no troubles. But he is very unhappy to see others unhappy. He is always thinking of plans to save them from hellish planets in this body or the next. and world is lacking Krishna consciousness, people are suffering, they do not believe in the next life only. They think that whatever enjoyment I get in the current life is all in all done. So, they madly pursue material sense enjoyment. The duty of Vaishnavas like Parikshit Maharaj is to make an honest attempt to save them from hellish planets. So, Parikshit Maharaj is representing all those sane men and asking this question to Sukadeva Goswami so that he can authoritatively ascertain how to avoid hell. Prabhupada quotes Prahlad Maharaj. Naivo dvijaya paraduratyaya vaitaranya tvadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chitta socheta to vimukha chetasa indriyartha maya sukhaya bharamudvahato vimudhan. I am not worried about me, my dear Lord, Narasimhadev. Because tvadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chittaha, I am totally absorbed. My chitta is so absorbed in the glorification of your activities, your pastimes, your glories, your qualities. But I am lamenting. Socetato vimukhachetasa indriyarthaha. I am thinking about these people who are vimukhachetasaha. Means, their chetasa, their consciousness is vimukha, that has turned against you. They have turned their faces against you. Because of that, why they have turned their faces against you? Because indriyartha, they want to gratify their senses. Maya sukhaya, they have given up the real sukha in bhakti and they are embracing maya sukha, illusory happiness in this world. So vimodhan, foolish people, I am worried about them. So like that, Prahlad Maharaj offers this prayer. So when Parikshit Maharaj, a pure devotee, he asked this question, Sukadeva Goswami did not immediately speak about bhakti. Solution to the question asked by Parikshit is, perform bhakti yoga, go to spiritual world, don't go to hell, simple. But he wanted to test Parikshit Maharaj. Why I will give a, I should not give a straightforward answer, let me test his understanding. If I give some other answer, will he accept it? So like that he says. So this main section, first 20 verses, first 19 verses of the 6th canto, is a very wonderful opportunity for the sadhaka to develop one's conviction on the supremacy of bhakti and superiority of bhakti over other processes. So, in response to this spontaneous question asked by Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami gave an answer. The answer is a spontaneous test, not a pre-declared test. He did not give the question paper before only, the way we do here. Right? He immediately gave something, some test. Will he pass the test or not? So spontaneously he wanted to test. So when someone is dying, when someone is sick, when someone is having some other crisis, the absorption about one's own self increases a lot. So Parikshit Maharaj is supposed to be thinking about his own self, but he is thinking about others. So when I am sick, say I hurt my leg is bleeding, or I got some malaria, something like that. So it's not that possible to think about others' problem. I am overwhelmed with my own problem. I am preoccupied to treat my own self. So, but Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj is not like that. He has given himself completely to Krishna, he is thinking about others. So that's the compassion that Parikshit has, and Sukadeva Goswami is testing his understanding also. You have compassionate heart, I understand, but do you have a philosophical heart? Do you have the right understanding? Some people, they may empathize with others, they may feel bad when others are suffering, they may feel very sympathetic and kind towards others, but they don't know how to express their kindness. For example, if the parents express their affection and kindness and love towards their children, that a patient is suffering, you are very kind. towards him. You take Rajbhog Mahaprasad plate and take it to that sick room and feed him. Arey, bechara, he is suffering with malaria. Let him take some Mahaprasad. You give oil items, ghee item, fried item, everything. Yeah, you are kind-hearted definitely, but you are spoiling his health more. One should have that discrimination to give what? You should give him non-spicy khichdi. If you really are concerned about his welfare and his quick recovery, you cannot give him samosa and vada pav. So like that. So compassion is not sufficient. So that's why Parikshit's compassion is definitely glorified, but his understanding is also tested. So mamchayo avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevati, the full surrender with devotional service will relieve one from all sinful reactions and they will immediately stop. One will not enter hell. This is the simple answer. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma shuchaha. Krishna gives this promise. Don't worry. I will relieve you from all sins. You don't have to enter hell. Just surrender unto me. This is the solution. But to test Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami first prescribed a karmakandic solution. He says,
Nached ihaiva pachitam yatham hasaha kritasya kuryan mana ukta pani bhi dhruvam savai pretya nara savai pretya narakan upaiti ye kirtita me bhavata stigma yatana.
Shukadeva Goswami replied, my dear king, if before one's next death, whatever impious acts one has performed in this life with his mind, words and body are not counteracted through proper atonement according to the description of Manu Samhita and other Dharma Shastras, one will certainly enter the hellish planets after death and undergo terrible suffering as I have previously described to you.
So he said that if sins committed with body, mind and words are not atoned before death, hell is guaranteed. So we should atone. So he gave a karmakandic answer. There are 80 authorized scriptures. Prabhupada says Manu Samhita and many other rules and regulations are given. So one should follow those scriptural codes and the prescribed processes of atonement to counteract one's sinful reactions. Then he did not enter hell. There's a disease, you take medicine. Then you will be cured of the disease. Right? So, follow the decision of scriptures. Do pious activities to counteract impious activities. So, that kind of answer he gives in the beginning. He continues the same answer.
Tasmat puraiva shviha papa nishkritau yateta mrityor avipadya tatmanam doshasya drishtva gurula ghavam yatham bhishak chikitse narujam nidanavat.
Therefore, before one's next birth comes, next death comes, as long as one's body is strong enough, one should quickly adopt the process of atonement according to Shastra. Otherwise, one's time will be lost and the reactions of his sins will increase. As an expert physician diagnoses and treats a disease according to its gravity, one should undergo atonement according to severity of one's sins.
Tasmat puraiva shviha papa nishkritau. Papa nishkriti means atonement for one's sins. So one should quickly atone sin. What kind of atonement? Gurulaghavam yatha. Doshaya drishtva gurulaghavam yatha. If the sin is very grave, the atonement also has to be very grave. And if the sin is insignificant and small, then there is a small process of atonement. If you enter the train and pull the chain without a reason, they may fine you something. If you kill a co-passenger, the fine is more. There will be imprisonment or there may be something more. So depending on the the severity of your mistake or sin, to that extent one has to perform atonement. So the physician treats a disease according to the gravity of the disease. So, for example, someone kills someone. According to Manu Samhita, the killer has to be killed, murdered. So that's the solution presented. Now, Parikshit Maharaj doesn't agree with this answer. Sukadeva Goswami tested Parikshit Maharaj 3 times. First, in the 6th canto, his intelligence is tested. Is he intelligent enough? Does he consider bhakti as a solution? Or if I give the solution of karma kanda, will he take it? So that's first time test. Second test he gave at the end of 9th canto. 9th canto is a description of sun dynasty and moon dynasty. Sukadeva Goswami summarizes these 2 dynasties very quickly, that he just touches the episodes. He elaborates on few Saubari episode, just 2 chapters. Ambarish approach, Ambarish Maharaj's episode, maybe 1 chapter. Then Yayati's episode, 3-4 chapters. Then Pururava episode, 2 chapters. So like that, some sections he describes in 1 or 2 chapters, and most of the king's stories are described in just few verses, small section. And some names only are quoted. In 1 verse, and 10 names will come. So like that, 9th canto covers hundreds of personalities without elaborating on any of them sufficiently. The way he has done with all these people, he has done with Krishna also, towards the end of 9th canto. 9th canto in the last, towards the end, last chapter, 24th chapter, in 1 or 2 verses, he summarizes 10 Krishna's activities. So in 1 verse, Krishna's birth till disappearance is covered in 1 or 2 verses. So these are Krishna's activities. Then Parikshit Maharaj said, I can't take this 1 or 2 verses description of Krishna. I want 90 chapters of 10th canto. Elaborate description. So don't summarize the glories. So there Parikshit Maharaj's eagerness to hear Krishna's pastimes is tested. How eager is he? If I summarize, will he say, ha, class jildi khatam ho gaya, fine. So I can go. Will he think like that? Or he wants to hear more? Sometimes when we summarize, students are happy. But some students say, please elaborate it more. So there are different flavors of students. What kind of student Parikshit is? Sukadeva Goswami tested him at the end of 9th canto. Just before Parikshit Maharaj departed also, there was a test. 12th canto, 6th chapter describes Parikshit's disappearance. Parikshit's departure after being bitten by that Takshaka snake. Just before that, in 5th chapter or in the beginning of 6th chapter, I don't exactly remember, Sukadeva Goswami speaks about Jnana Marga. He began in the 2nd canto, in the beginning a lot of Jnana is discussed. And in the middle, Bhakti is discussed. And towards the end, again he discussed Jnana. Parikshit Maharaj is just about to go back to Godhead. So there were 2 purposes for Sukadeva Goswami to describe that Jnana. Why? Because, number one, he wanted to test Parikshit Maharaj. Will my disciple get confused now? Because I spoke entire Bhagavatam and I am giving the conclusion as Jnana. So will he, what will be his response? He wanted to test it. Second is, he wanted to protect the confidentiality of what he has spoken. So this bhakti is so confidential, and I just spoke it very openly. So maybe Lord will not be so pleased because I have revealed certain secrets about himself and the process of reaching him. But if I speak Jnana at the end, those who are not qualified, they will think that, oh, Sukadeva Goswami began his description with Jnana and concluded his description with Jnana, means Jnana is the main thing that he is emphasizing, and they will be diverted to Jnana. So for that reason, I think better I speak Jnana now. That's like one reason, but mainly to test Parikshit Maharaj in the context of our current discussion. So Parikshit Maharaj was thinking that, why should I take this Jnana now? Sukadeva Goswami, you spoke throughout Bhagavatam about bhakti, you glorified bhakti. Do you think that I will be tempted? Do you think that I will be diverted from this understanding that you have given me so far? I will not. I will leave my body by meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna only, not like a jnanis. So like that three times he was tested. Parikshit Maharaj did not meditate on the impersonal Brahman when leaving his body. He was meditating on the sweetness of the lotus feet of Krishna while leaving the body. So thus, Parikshit is tested thrice. It's the duty of a guru to test the disciple. Even Narada Muni also tested Dhruva Maharaj. Is he determined enough? Out of just childish excitement and enthusiasm, he just wants to worship Vishnu? Or is he really determined to do it? So he tested before giving him bhakti. Next. Now this verse. This is a verse of Bhagavatam only, 7th and 8th verses. Sukadeva Goswami is only speaking. So we cannot quote this verse to tell someone that you have done some sinful activity. So Sukadeva Goswami says that you should atone for sinful activity. What kind of atonement? If the sinful activity is very severe, the atonement is also very severe. And if it is a small sinful activity, then atonement is simple. And what kind of atonement? Refer Manu Samhita. It is mentioned in this verse of Bhagavatam. So that's why we cannot conclude by reading one or two verses. Scriptures are not textual but contextual. Means you see the overall context. In what context is this point made? In the 7th canto, Narada Muni describes about Hiranyakashipu. Right, in the first, about Lord's partiality and impartiality, all that discussion. So it seems that Lord is partial. Is he partial like that? Some discussion comes about Lord's partiality in the 7th canto, first chapter. There, he says that Shishupala was delivered. Yudhishthira Maharaj asks, why Shishupala is delivered? Shishupala was only blaspheming Krishna throughout his life. Since the day when he started speaking, when he has learned to speak, since then till date, he was only blaspheming Krishna. But why is he delivered? Why did he attain liberation in front of everyone in this Rajasvaya assembly? We can see that Shishupala was delivered. So, why did he get liberation? Then Narada Muni elaborates, saying that Tasmad vairanu bandhena nirvairena bhayenava snehat kamena vayunjat kathanchan nikshati prithak. Whether it is with devotion or enmity, anger or lust, in whatever emotion, if you approach Krishna and get absorbed in Krishna, you will get deliverance. He says. And then he says, Acharyas give purports, that the even with envy also, if you approach Krishna, one will attain Krishna. So, Shishupala was delivered because he was so envious of Krishna. Then Kamsa was delivered because he was so fearful of Krishna. Their envy, their fear, their anger led them into deep absorption in Krishna. They are 24 hours thinking about Krishna only and nothing else. Purely about Krishna. They are completely Krishna conscious. 24 hours Krishna conscious. But with a negative emotion. So Krishna, out of his kindness, keeps aside that negativity of their emotion, the material aspect of their absorption, and considers only their absorption and gives them liberation. So, in whatever way, you should approach Krishna. But these negative emotions are not recommendations. So, we need not take Kamsa or Shishupala as our Mahajan, and then our sadhana need not be blaspheming Krishna or envying Krishna or being fearful of Krishna. If our absorption in Krishna with envy or anger falls below the standard of Shishupala or Kamsa, we'll end up in hell. Right? We'll not end up in liberation. So, that negative emotion that makes one completely get absorbed in Krishna is more, will give one liberation. that will purify a person also. After all, he is thinking about Krishna. And the negativity will also go. In that context, Narada Muni says, why I said this is to bring us to this point. Narada Muni says that actually the demon's absorption in Krishna is more than my absorption, more than my devotion. I consider demons like Hiranyakashipu or who is that? Shishupal, Dantavakra or other people. They are more absorbed in Krishna than me. So Narada Muni said that out of his humility. We should not take that literally. Getting right? We need to understand the context, see the overall section, and see, Narada Muni only said it out of humility. Definitely that doesn't make Shishupala better than Narada Muni. That doesn't make Kamsa better than Narada Muni. Similarly, here also, Sukadeva Goswami said something about atonement in this context. You need to understand the context and take this statement, and we should not quote this out of context. That's pretty clear. Next. Drishtasratabhyam yat papam janan apyatmano hitam karoti bhuyo vivashaham prayaschittam athokatam. Now, Sukadeva Goswami, when he gave this atonement as an answer, Parikshit Maharaj said, Drishtasratabhyam yat papam. One may see the performance of a sinful activity. Shritabhyam. One may also see the performance, one may also hear about the effects of that sinful activities. One may see and hear about the reactions towards a sin. Janan api atmano ahitam. And he also understands that it's harmful to me. Ahitam. Hitam is causing welfare. Ahitam means injurious. He understands it. He sees, he hears, and he understands. Still, karoti bhuyo vivashaha. Vivashaha means helplessly, without being able to control himself, he performs sinful activities. Prayaschittam athokatam. What is the value of such an atonement? Means, even after performing atonement and getting relieved from that sinful activity, still, a person may commit sinful activity because he is addicted to that sin. A drunkard or a chain smoker, he may get some heart problem or some lungs problem. He will go to doctor and doctor will say cure that problem. And after getting some relief, he will start smoking cigarettes. Right? So, that is called professional sinner. They will commit sin, they will confess, they will pay fine. Again they will commit sin, again they will confess. Again they will pay fine and again they will commit sin. So it's like a cycle is going on. Bhutva bhutva praliyati is going on. So sinning continues until one is trained to refrain from enjoying his senses. So vivashaha means even unwillingly, although he does not want to do it, still, the force of the habit will just really push him to do it. Vivashaha. Forcefully commits sin by habit. So then how does this atonement help? So you cannot forcefully stop one from committing sin just by putting some ointment on the previous sin. So I don't consider this an intelligent solution. So what makes one repeatedly commit a sinful activity is the attachment that he has towards the result of that sinful activity. One may be doing, say, illicit sex. There is a pleasure in doing that and he is attached to that pleasure. Although he knows, he has the knowledge for that, knowledge that it is bad, still he is attached to the pleasure that it is giving. One should not eat sweets, for example. Eating sweet is not a sin, but eating sweets may not be favorable towards one's health. Or eating oily items may not be favorable. Doctors told him, don't eat. But because of the pleasure that he gets by eating that sweets or oily items or fried items, he forcefully eats it out of habit. He's addicted to that pleasure. So if one can control that itch, initial itch, then he can avoid the future sins. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj gives this example. One has a scratching sensation, itching sensation. So he will go and scratch on that itch. It feels good. He feels like scratching more. It feels better. He scratches more. While he is scratching, he is increasing the wound. The wound is becoming more severe. And at one point, it started bleeding. Still he is scratching. If he takes out his hand, then he becomes restless. He has to scratch. But if he scratches, it bleeds. Although it is bleeding, the wound is becoming more and more severe. Still, he is unable to stop that feeling to scratch. Children will scratch on their wounds. Parents will stop. Hey, don't scratch, don't scratch. But the child is uncontrollably attracted to scratching because that is giving him relief. But along with that relief, the wound is becoming bigger. Right? If it's not so easy, but the solution is, simple solution is, if only one can control that initial itching sensation and not scratch, keeps the hand away, then he can avoid the wound to become bigger and the wound will cure without becoming more severe. Initially the problem is this much. Initially the temptation to enjoy senses is this much. If you neglect it, if you divert it, if you don't fulfill or respond to it, then there is good possibility that it may go away. But let me just fulfill this much desire for sense satisfaction. Then that fulfillment of desire may become big. That will lead to bigger desire. Then he will get more desires for sense gratification. Like that, the desire for sense gratification increases. So the solution is there in tolerating that initial itch. It's easier said than done, but that's the solution. Right? Initial itch one needs to tolerate. So much of attachment for enjoyment will make one a victim of so many sinful reactions. Right? So that enjoying propensity on a sensual plane or a material plane has to be diverted towards devotional service. Engage the same senses in something else. You are very fond of looking very beautiful objects. Better see the beautiful form of the deities. You are very fond of tasting so many delicious items. Better taste Krishna Prasadam. You are fond of hearing nice music. Better hear Krishna's holy names and kirtans. So like that, one needs to give a better engagement. So this opportunity is there in the process of devotional service. Unless the senses are given better engagement, the senses will not stop. If you don't give them spiritual engagement, they will continue to act on material plane, like that. So Parikshit Maharaj said that this atonement, I don't like this. I don't appreciate this. Very casually said that. And he wouldn't have to analyze this so much. As soon as Parikshit Sukadeva Goswami said it, it didn't make any sense to Parikshit Maharaj. You are saying atonement. Guru is saying, he's not sentimentally accepting this. Sukadeva Goswami said it must be true only. He did not accept that. He used his intelligence. It didn't make much sense to me. He very respectfully denied that answer. He continues. Kvachin nevartate bhadrat kvachit charati tat punaha prayaschittam atho partham manye kunjara shauchavat kvachin nivartate abhadrat. Sometimes that person ceases from committing sin. Kvachit charati tat punaha. Sometimes he again commits sin. Prayaschittam atho apartham. So this prayaschitta or atonement is apartham, means without meaning, useless, meaningless. Manye kunjara shauchavat. I consider this elephant bath. Elephant takes bath in a nice water reservoir. After coming out, it will throw dust on its body. So what is the meaning of taking bath? Just now he committed atonement. He cleaned himself of that sinful reaction. He comes out and commits sin again. So the itch to commit that sinful activity should be controlled. How to control it? So he asks that. So he rejects atonement. that reveals his knowledge and intelligence. And not only that, Parikshit's knowledge and intelligence are revealed by rejecting this atonement process. That also exhibits, shows his concern for the sinful people. I need an effective solution. Someone comes to you in need of something. I need something. Okay, take this. You have a better option to give him. You have a best option to give him. But you give him some substandard option. Because you are not actually understanding the need, or you are not able to appreciate, or you don't have the willingness to fulfill his necessity. Okay, someone is in need of something. For example, somebody is asking you for, say, he has to go to some place, right? He needs some money, traveling expenses. That needs, say, 1,000 rupees. You have 2,000 rupees also, you can give him. But, oh, jaane kya, kitna chahiye? Okay, I have this 100 rupees, take this 100 rupees and go. You have the ability to give him 1,000 rupees, but you don't have the willingness or heart to give him that much. So, you ask him to adjust with this 100 rupees. You don't go in reserved compartment, you go in general compartment. There is inconvenience. Okay, go. You don't go in AC compartment, you go in janta, normal compartment. So you give him a substandard solution. Similarly, definitely atonement is also a solution for sin, but it doesn't stop you from committing more sin. So Parikshit Maharaj wanted the best solution for all these sinful people. He's not thinking about himself. Like, what will happen to me? I don't have to go anywhere. So someone will think like that. I am not in need of the 1,000 rupees. So I can't put myself in the shoes of this person that he is desperately needing the 1,000 rupees. I'll just give him 100 or 200 rupees and then ask him to adjust. Because you don't feel his pain. But Parikshit is feeling the other person's pain. He has deep concern for all sinful people, that he wanted the best possible ultimate solution for all those people, not for himself. He's already perfect in his life. Right. So fitting analogies communicate the point very clearly. Here, very nice analogy is given. Manye kunjara shauchavat. So Parikshit Maharaj did not sentimentally accept the solution given by him. And he gave a nice analogy also. How the solution is useless, he mentioned it very clearly. So Parikshit passed one phase of test, right? By rejecting atonement process that involves fruitive activities. One fruitive activity. Sinful activity is also fruitive activity. You do some activity to get the result, enjoy the result. Atonement is also a fruitive activity kind of thing only. So what is the point? So Sukadeva Goswami suggests another answer. That is Jnana Kanda. Karma Kanda to Jnana Kanda. Okay, fine. Now this person said, first he gave 100 rupees. 100 rupees is not sufficient for me to go all the way to Chennai. You should give me more. Okay, take this 300 rupees. You give the next solution. That is also not sufficient. You need 1,000 rupees to comfortably reach the destination. But he gives next installment. That is also not satisfying to Parikshit Maharaj. Let's see. Before that, we'll see it. We'll read what Sukadeva Goswami said. Karmana karma nirharom nahyantyantika ishyate avidvad adhikaritvat prayaschittam vimarshanam.
Sukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, answered, my dear king, since acts meant to neutralize impious actions are also fruitive, they will not release one from the tendency to act fruitively. Persons who subject themselves to the rules and regulations of atonement are not at all intelligent. Indeed, they are in the mode of darkness. Mm-hmm. Unless one is freed from the mode of ignorance, trying to counteract one's action through another is useless, because this will not uproot one's desires.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, even though one may superficially seem pious, he will undoubtedly be prone to act impiously. Therefore, the real atonement is enlightenment in perfect knowledge, Vedanta, by which one understands the Supreme Absolute Truth.
So the acts of neutralizing impious acts are also fruitive. And fruitive act means done under ignorance. So they cannot uproot the desires or tendency to act fruitively. Because of ignorance, one commits sin. What is the solution? Knowledge. So go to Jnana Kanda. By doing this, by following the Jnana Marga, you mitigate your ignorance and you don't commit sin. And you avoid hellish planets. So Jnana is the ultimate solution. It seems very appealing now. So atonement will only give quick relief, but not complete destruction of the sin. So because of ignorance, which is the seed of sin, that will continue. Right? We'll complete this. I'll come to you. So Prabhupada quotes Bhagavad Gita. So namam duskritino modha prapadyante naradhamah. So one should engages in sinful activities and do not know the true objective of life, they are like modhas and asses. About jnanis also Bhagavad Gita says, Vedaishya sarvai rahameva vedyo vedantakrit veda videva chaham. So one will study Vedanta, but although he may study Vedanta, he may not understand the Lord, but simply advance in some speculative knowledge, he is also like modha only. So karmis are modhas, jnanis are also more or less like modhas only. So, but what is the ultimate situation that Krishna is expecting? Bahunam janmanamante jnanavan mam prapadyati. Just acquiring knowledge is not sufficient. Acquiring that knowledge with which you surrender unto the Supreme Lord is sufficient, is important. So surrender unto Krishna. So that's the point. Now he continues this answer, Sukadeva Goswami. He says, Nashnataha patyam evannam vyadhayo bhivavantihi evam niyamakrit rajan shanaihi kshemaya kalpate.
My dear king, if a diseased person eats the pure, uncontaminated food prescribed by a physician, he is gradually cured, and the infection of disease can no longer touch him. Similarly, if one follows the regulative principles of knowledge, he gradually progresses towards liberation from the material contamination.
So, he gave karmakanda solution earlier. You get pain, take painkiller, done. But that doesn't cure the disease. But here he says, follow proper diet. The disease will be cured. Nashnataha patyam evannam. Patyam means some prescribed diet only, and avoiding some unfavorable food items for one's health, like that. So if you follow that, then the disease is cured. So this solution is a better solution, definitely. Karma means there is every chance of falling down to hellish conditions. But in jnana process, at least there is knowledge what is sin and what is pious. One will cautiously act. Still there is a chance of falling down, because if such a person does not take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, there is a chance of falling down. And Prabhupada says, the difficulty is that one will think that he is liberated. Yanyera vindaksha vimukta maninaha tvayasta bhaga davishuddha buddhayaha. He will think that I am vimukta. I have become like that. But still, one can be saved from hellish life because there is some gradual purification by following certain rules and regulations. Right? So this is a better solution, but it's not the ultimate solution. What exactly is the solution? Follow the limbs of Jnana Marga. There are different limbs. You have to follow all these protocols. Tapasa brahmacharyena shame nachadame nacham tyagena satya sauchabhyam yame naniyame nacham dehavag buddhijam dhiram dharmagnaha shraddhayanvitaha kshipantyagham mahad api venu gulmamiva nalaham tapasa brahmacharyena. What are the different rules of this jnana? Tapasa, austerity. Brahmacharyena, that means celibacy. Shamena damena cha, by mind control and sense control. Tyagena, by renunciation. Satya sauchabhyam, by cleanliness and then truthfulness. Next, Yamena Niyamenava, by following different rules and regulations. Dehavak Buddhijam Dhira, by being sober and using his body, mind and words in intelligence. Dharmagnaha Shraddhayanvitaha, by being faithful and be rooted in dharma. One may be purified from sins. But the purification that is possible by all these limbs is temporary. Why? Kshipanti agham mahadapi. Agham means sin. Mahadapi means although the sin is very severe, one can be relieved from that sin. How? Venu gulmam iva analaha. Earlier it is kunjara sauchavat, elephant bath. This is venu gulmam iva anala means just like a bamboo bush is burnt by fire, all your sinful reactions will be burnt. But problem is, when there are favorable conditions, because the roots are not yet burnt, when there are favorable conditions, again they will come up. So knowledge of what is good and what is bad doesn't necessitate that you will apply that knowledge. Morality is a lack of opportunity. Some say like that, right? So, you follow all these things, tapasa, brahmacharyena, shamena, dhyamena and all these things. So, by following certain protocols and a clean lifestyle and all, you may stay away from committing sin. But as soon as one goes into an atmosphere or ambience surcharged with ignorance and passion, in the dormant desires may again may come out and one may want to enjoy sense gratification again. One may commit sinful activities again. So that's why it is compared to Venu Gulmam Ivanala. However, this tapasa, brahmacharyena, shamena, damena, they are counted as limbs of jnana here. But these are favorable conditions for bhakti also. These are not definitely elements of bhakti. Elements of bhakti are shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam. There are 5 potent forms, there are 9 processes, there are 64 limbs, all are there. But this kind of lifestyle is definitely favorable for performance of devotional service also. Prabhupada writes how these are important and these are good. Tapa means complete control of mind and senses, concentration. There are 8 aspects of brahmacharya and one should begin controlling the tongue by chanting Hare Krishna. So like that, Prabhupada says how these are very much useful for devotees also. Not only jnani process, we need not stay away from these processes. So how can one control the tongue? By chanting Hare Krishna, by speaking Krishna Katha, by eating Krishna Prasadam. One can control tongue. Dhira is one who is undisturbed in all circumstances. So Parikshit Maharaj gave this explanation about Jnana Kanda up to 14th verse. Parikshit is still dissatisfied. He is not satisfied with this answer also. He did not see it. He did not say it, but Sukadeva Goswami could understand. Oh. One should be mature enough when one is dealing with one's superiors. They should be able to hear a no behind a yes. They should be able to hear a yes behind a no. A superior's instructions or statements cannot be taken literally in every circumstance. Sometimes they need to be taken literally. But sometimes when he is in the mood of testing, an intelligent subordinate understands the mood. How exactly it happens? Like, it's dynamic, depending on how intense is their relationship and all. So, for example, Krishna told Arjuna, kill Ashwatthama. And he gave, look, 4 or 5 verses are there. He did not follow the rules of religious war. Shuptam, prasuptam, unmattam. What is that? Mattam, pramattam, unmattam, shuptam, valam, striyam, jadam. So when someone is sleeping, when someone is intoxicated, someone is not ready to fight, when someone does not have a chariot, when someone does not have weapons, you should not fight with him. When someone is a child or a woman, you should not kill them. You should not fight with them. But Ashwatthama has violated all these religious codes of war. He killed 5 children who are sleeping. So, you should kill him. Like that, Krishna gives very convincing answer, convincing instructions to Arjuna. I mean, if someone else is in Arjuna's place, he would have immediately killed Ashwatthama because Krishna is emphasizing so much. But at the end, Arjuna says, no, I will not kill him. You gave a big lecture, I understand that. You told me about the gravity of the mistake that he has committed, but I will not kill him. I just arrest him, let me take him to the camp. Then we will decide, the whole team will decide. The team of Pandavas, Draupadi, then we will take a call. He did not immediately execute. Means, Krishna is very happy at that time. Arjuna did not do it. So, behind the forceful, pressurizing, compelling instructions of Krishna, this Arjuna was able to understand Krishna's mood. Actually, Krishna does not want me to kill. Similarly, here also, Sukadeva Goswami presented these two solutions as if they are like ultimate. Yeah, this is Karmakanda is best. Next he said Jnanakanda is best. No, looks like you are giving me an answer which you yourself are not convinced. I understand that you lack that conviction while you are speaking this. Parikshit is able to detect that. And not every subordinate will have that much of maturity. Right? So, but Parikshit Maharaj is like that. So how can he deny Guru's statements? Guru's statements have to be taken literally. See, in what mood Guru is making that statement? Here, Sukadeva Goswami is making that statement to test Parikshit. Parikshit passed the test. Like that. He is still dissatisfied. Now he gives the ultimate answer.
Kechit kevalaya bhaktyam vasudeva parayanaham agham dhunvanti karsnena niharamiva bhaskara. Kechit kevalaya bhaktya,
by performing an alloyed devotional service.
Vasudeva parayanaha,
by dedicating oneself to Vasudeva completely.
Agham dhunvanti karsnena. Agham means sin. Dhunvanti means they are washed away, vanquished. Karsnena means completely, having no possibility of reappearing. This is not like, how it's like that, niharamiva bhaskaraha. Just like sun can immediately dissipate fog. When the sun is shining so brilliantly in the sky, the fog is dissipated. So, similarly, I didn't open this. So, like sun dissipates fog. Similarly, when one performs bhakti, all one's sinful reactions and sinful tendencies, proclivities are also gone. Right? So, this is not like Kunjara Shauchavat. This is not like Venugulvam Ivanala. This is Niharam Iva Bhaskaraha. When Bhaskara is shining so brilliantly in the sky, Nihara, the drop of dew cannot exist anymore. Like that. So, he gives this ultimate solution. Prabhupada and other acharyas give quite elaborate understanding of this verse. Now, agham dhunvanti karsnena is mentioned. Means bhakti will nullify your sinful reactions. But that does not mean that bhakti does only that. Bhakti does not just nullify sinful reactions. That's an insignificant secondary result by performing bhakti. Bhakti can give you Krishna prem. Ultimately. Right? So it's not Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhaktira dhokshaji ahaituki apratihata ye yatma suprasidati. If one performs bhakti, one can attain love of Krishna. Right? So, vanquishing one's sinful reactions and sinful proclivities becomes an insignificant byproduct of it. But here the discussion is how to eliminate that sin and how to avoid hell. That's why that point is mentioned. But that's not the only result of bhakti. That understanding acharyas give. So when you are cooking sweet rice, so much of gas is exhausted in the cylinder, or so much of wood is burnt in the sigdi, in the stove, right? But burning of wood or gas getting exhausted, or your matchstick is losing your matchstick, they are like byproducts. But what is the main thing there? Cooking sweet rice. When you are performing bhakti, you are developing your love for Krishna. That's the main product.
You are vanquishing sinful activities, is a sinful reactions, is an insignificant byproduct. So cooking sweet rice is main thing, or burning wood is the main thing. So that's the, what is mentioned.
Shreya Shrutim Bhakti Mudasyate Vibho Klishyanti Ye Kevala Bodhalabdhaye Tesham Asau Kleshala Eva Sishyate Nanyadyatha Sthula Tushava Ghatinath.
So when one rejects bhakti and struggles to achieve speculative knowledge or other troublesome processes, it's just beating empty husk that is devoid of grain. You take some grass, the grass has already gone to Goshala. In Goshala, the cows eat grass. When will the grass go to Goshala? When the grain is taken out of that grass. Along with grain, nobody will send the grass to Goshala. Right? You take that Goshala grass and start beating, beating, beating. Nothing will come out. So it's like that. Devoid of bhakti, one cannot get anything. But if one performs bhakti, other things are also there in that. Vedeshu yagneshu tapasu chaiva daneshu yat punya phalapratishtam atyati tatsarvam idam vidhitva yogi param sthanam upaiti chadyam. What you get by Vedic study, yagneshu, sacrifices, tapasu, by austerity, chaiva daneshu yat punya phalapratishtam, by giving charity and all, you will get all of those results. And much more than that, by performing bhakti. Right? So that's the glory of bhakti.
Bhakti hi pareshana bhavo viraktiranyatrascaikisha trika ekakalaha prapadyamanasya yathashana su tushtihi pushtihi kshudapayo anughasam.
If one, performance of bhakti or taking shelter of the Lord is compared to eating. If one eats, one is that he will be relieved from hunger, that is kshudapaya. And one will be nourished pushti. One will be satisfied tushti. So tushti, pushti, kshudapaya, three things will happen by eating. Similarly, by taking Lord's shelter, one will be detached from material enjoyment, detached from sinful activities, sinful proclivities. Then he need not enter hell only. And not only that, his devotion towards Krishna will increase and his experience of Supreme Lord also will increase.
Bhakti hi para ishanubhava.
Virakti also will increase. Bhakti also will increase. Like that. So, bhakti can give you much more than saving you from hellish planets. So, who is this Vasudeva Parayana?
Gechit kevalaya bhaktya Vasudeva Parayana.
Vasudeva Parayana is one who is completely attached to Vasudeva. Attachment to devotional service. There is a lot of things already 115. Thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.